Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to The Man's Voice here on Sunday, October 14th. We're glad that you're tuning in and here with us again. Sorry about all the times that we might have not been in and out, but we're here to bring this entertainment to you every week. And first of all, before we get started, we want to say for those who went through the storm, Michael, we hope that you know, you're recovering well and everything is going to be done for you. Our hearts and prayers from The Man's Voice are out to all those people that were in the way and maybe had disasters and stuff like that. We want to make sure that we send our special notice to you. How are you guys doing out there, staff or panelists? Anyway, let me go ahead.
Great.
How are you doing, Robbie? There we go. Wow. How you doing, Jeremiah?
Great okay. Over here.
How are you doing, Ron?
Doing good, David. Thank you for asking.
Good. You know, it's a sad day today for all. So beer has become a national of the United States of America, and there are a couple of brands that stand out in your mind. But we lost William Coors at 102 years old, who just recently passed away, who started the Coors brand. And the Coors, if I think back, Coors used to be like very, very popular. And it still is popular today, I think, but it used to be like number one. But he passed away. He was 102 years old. So I think everybody should take a Coors beer and, you know, like the homies do and pour it out over something out in the yard or something like that to commemorate Mr. Coors. All right. So a lot of things happened during the week, but let me jump in with, hello, Bruce. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine, gentlemen. How about you?
Good.
Are you still under the weather?
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about some things that happened last week that just pops out all over the news. And it seems that Kanye West decided to go hang out with the president and the internet went berserk. Everything I see on the internet has that mime or something about it. Tell me, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on what happened in the White House with Kanye West and your thoughts nationally?
I don't have much information what transpired. I've seen it a little bit with him requesting to see Mr. Trump or have a meeting with Mr. Trump and explore a dialect, but I'm not too sure what the meeting was about or what dialect did they speak of, what did they talk about, you know? So, I don't understand the purpose. But if anybody know what they were meeting about, please enlighten me on that.
I don't think anybody really knows what they were meeting about. But, Don, what do you think about what happened?
It was a force. David, it was a force. It was a photo op for 45, and it turned into a minstrel show. That's what it was. I mean, thing is, Kanye West made a stupid fool of himself. You know, I'm going to tell you something about this young man. This young man grew up in a middle-class family, a very educated family, a very wealthy family, and then he gained notoriety as a rapper. And then he married a young lady that has a history of destroying men's character. They don't know whether they're men or women when it comes to acting stupid. There's no male role model in his life. He really made us look stupid. And David, what I really wonder is, can Donald Trump take him on the circuit with him as he goes to Iowa, Kentucky, and all of those other cities that he go to? And Jim Brown sitting there with him was even more of a force. He didn't even know what to say. That was a stupid situation. Here he is, got Kanye West making a fool out of himself. His desk was cleared off, nothing on his desk, and then we got a big tornado in the panhandle, and we got a fool on television with 45. It was stupid, just stupid.
But, you know, Kanye West has done, that's all he's doing in his career, because he went up on stage. Remember when Taylor Swift won I think it was a Grammy for best video or something. And then he went up on stage when they gave her the award and just took the microphone and said that should have went to Beyonce. So he's always out there. I don't know why they keep touting this guy around as somebody who's important. What do you think, Ron?
I think the whole thing seems so ridiculous and like, so, I don't know, so out of place and like a joke. I mean, my understanding is that he went there to talk about, workforce training and sentencing reforms and African-American employment. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck does Kanye West know about any of that? I don't profess to know a lot about Kanye West, but I don't think that he's an expert in any of those areas that I just mentioned. So, and I don't know. To me, it just seemed like a circus. I'm sure I'm not alone in that sentiment.
Have you seen the internet? The internet just went crazy. There is so many people that are so upset with that. On all levels. It was.
Just, well, I never. Yeah, I haven't seen the internet, but I never liked Kanye West, and I don't really know why. I mean, if somebody asked me, why don't you like Kanye West, I really don't know what the answer is. I think it's because he comes across to me as an arrogant ass, and I think, I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't really know much about him. I just don't like him, and I think this whole thing was a circus act.
Right. Did you see any of this, Bruce?
Yeah, I heard more than I saw, but my trusted colleagues, Mr. Ron, Mr. Don, and Jeremy is still thinking it over, and I respect him for that. I disagree, and there's no surprise on that. I disagree for a different reason. I've never been a big fan of Kanye either, but if he would have come out and supported the Democrats in some similar fashion, they would have praised him. It's so hypocritical the way things, and the hypocrisy is on both sides. But in this instance, we're talking about that. You know, these black announcers on CNN and announcers, they're not reporters anymore. Token Negro and this and that. If anybody else said that, they would be hung by their toenails saying that. All this BS that's going on. The reason I disagree with a lot of people and maybe the internet, if it's in support of thinking he was crazy or whatever, is he has a right to talk too. And if he had been talking in support of the other side, none of this fervor and craziness would have come out. You know it, and I know it. He has a right to speak, whether I like him or not, whether you like him or not. He can support the president. And what I am getting very concerned about is if anybody steps out of where they're supposed to be, right or left, they are ridiculed. They are chastised. They are boiled in oil, whatever kind of thing you want to think of. What happened to freedom of thought without persecution, for Christ's sake? And I don't care if it's somebody on the left that I disagree with. At least don't attack them every time they speak. And both sides are guilty. But in this case, that's what I'm upset about is, yeah, he has his way of saying things. And I agree. He's not somebody I've been in love with either. But he has a right to support whoever he wants to write without being totally annihilated in the press. That's crazy.
Hey, Bruce, I'd like to follow up with that, Bruce. All right. Hey, Bruce, let me ask you this. Do you think 45 will give him the opportunity to travel with him as he stomps in Iowa and Indiana and Kentucky and so forth on Air Force One with him?
Let me put it this way. Do I think if both of them, both President Trump and Kanye, think the two of them involved together, whether that's traveling some places or just being involved for input or, I don't know, some way in the background, I would say the answer is yes. Whether he's going to – whether he's going to try and parade him, if I don't think that's your inference, but if they do, that would be totally wrong. I would say no.
Well, my point is he will never bring him to his base, never. And I'm going to say this. Anytime you get a seat at the table with the president of the United States, you need to talk some issues that are relevant. There was nothing said that was relevant, except for let me kiss this guy. I love this guy.
Don, I agree with you on that. He should have taken the opportunity to be more relevant. But if he's enthusiastic and his mind, he wanted to show, look, I support this guy. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Then he has a right to do that. But I would agree with you, Don, that it would have been time better spent by really coming up with some issues from the African-American perspective, if that's what he wants to share, and maybe try to help in the Chicago situation that seems to be getting worse by the minute. That's my hometown. That hurts me a lot to see Chicago held up as a poster child for all the wrong things. I don't like that.
Well, right. I don't like it either. I don't like it either, Bruce. But
yeah.
You know, open frisking will not work. We already know that, and we know that African Americans represent about 20%, but frisking would do about maybe 75-80%. So that wouldn't work in Chicago. And then again, 45 has never even been to Chicago to even address the problem in 2 years. So that hurts me as well, because I love Chicago.
Couldn't agree with you more. But let me – and just a quick follow-up, and then I'll give it back to you, David.
No problem. No problem.
Don or Ron or anyone, Jeremy, why do you – from my perspective, and it's only mine, why do you think there's such a almost beyond loyalty following of the African-American minority as a group with the Democrats only, often, and always? If they see some things that they might look either from the independents, the Republicans, or who knows where, other than Democratic, it seems like if anybody says, well, I'm going to support that, boy, whole hell breaks loose. You can't do that. It's like you're stepping out of line. And that's not free thinking if that's happening. That's not free thinking at all.
Can you reframe
really?
That just a bit for me?
What's that?
Reframe that question. I'm trying to get to what the question really is.
Well, the question is, the perception seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if anybody wants to think other than the Democratic Party way, in particularly in the African American voting bloc, that don't you dare step out of that voting bloc. You can't think independently. You think this way. I wouldn't want that on anybody. No one's going to tell me how to vote in my block. No one should tell an African American, an Asian American, a Native American. Nobody should be telling them how to vote at all. In a real world, you look at the facts, you look at the results, you look at your pocketbook, you look at what's going on for yourself, and you vote. So my question is perception true? Because I don't see it's always African American. 90%, 85% Democratic, and that's it.
Well, go ahead.
I'm gonna speak from an African American point of view.
Okay, yeah.
Just
go ahead.
Me,
yes.
Just me. I can't speak for the entire race, but
right.
I voted for Nixon. I voted for Reagan, and they were Republicans. And the thing is, we've gone so far to the right. So far to the right in racism, in voter suppression, in non-representation in the White House. I don't see anybody in the White House that looks like me or thinks like me. None. Nope. Nobody. And then the representation in the three branches, I don't see any strong representation on my part. So I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican. But the thing is, I see us going so far to the right, too far to the right. What happened to mainstream, Bruce?
Yeah, if you find it, let me know, I'll join you. I don't know where it went. There is no center. They've said now there is no center ground. There is no moderate party on either side. It's one extreme or the other, one side of the mountain or the other. That's it. There is no middle ground anymore.
And gentlemen, I could be wrong, but I think that started after Trump was elected or, to a large degree, because I don't think it's ever been this bad. And we've talked about this before, how the nation has become polarized. And even families
exactly.
have become polarized. And my two brothers, you know, are a different party than I am. And we argue all the time, and it's not good. It's
not,
tearing
you don't
everybody
have,
apart.
You don't have healthy arguments, Ron? It's just arguments for argument's sake?
Well, I'll put it this way. My brother, when I even start criticizing Trump in any way, he...
Yeah.
He starts shutting down, and he starts going into, an emotional breakdown, so to speak. And he says, you know, stop it. You're going to cause me to have a heart attack. I mean, he takes this thing really seriously.
Yeah. Well, and all due respect, gentlemen, it didn't start with Trump. Maybe Trump's fanned the fire, put more gas on it, whatever terminology you want to use. But it surely didn't start with Trump. It was here long before Trump started. You know it, and I know it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't start with Trump.
But he didn't help. He didn't help things
You're right. He didn't help.
Yeah.
He hasn't helped it. Yes. But,
all right,
gentlemen. We got to get beyond conquer and divide, and to combine and think. Problem solving together, and then we're so far away from that. We've talked about this; it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's true.
And Bruce, go ahead, David.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Bruce, that to your earlier comment that if Kanye West would have been visiting, you know, Hillary Clinton, say Hillary, if she was elected president, I think I would have had the same reaction.
No, you wouldn't.
To me, it's not. I think so.
Maybe you would. But
to me, Kanye West is a joke. So why would he even be invited to the White House in the first place? You know,
but
that. So
you think the press
I would have had that reaction though.
Do you think the press would have had that reaction?
Oh yeah.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, because you don't understand that they found a clown to put out there say this is what representative of this particular race. That's exactly what they're doing. Because
do you really think that Trump is parading him around to be a clown and make fun of the African American race? I don't think that for a minute.
I don't think Trump has the smarts to do that, but I think the press does. So him acting a fool in there gave the press a go for it. Let's go for it. You know, let's show everybody how they act. I think that's the press, of course.
Why didn't he take Jay-Z? Why did he invite Jay-Z or someone like that to the White House? Or either Michael Eric Dyson or either Al Sharpton? Why didn't he invite someone like that opposed to this clown that he invited?
And didn't Kanye like use the F-bomb or something in the White House? I mean, how dare he? I mean, it's the White House.
Yeah. In the Oval Office.
No respect.
Well, let's be careful, gentlemen. Someone like Al Sharpton is sure no lily, that's for sure. He's right up there with his kind of strong language and stuff, too. I mean, there's a lot of people that he could have brought in. And my basic answer is no matter who he brought in, they would have found a way to make it a bad news for Trump. You know that. It wouldn't matter who he brought in.
I don't think so. I think if he got somebody that was an intellectual and brought them in, we would have never even known they were there.
Oh, you can't believe that. You can't believe that,
yeah,
David.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
We would have not known they were even there. I mean, they would not have shown that.
Maybe the Democratic Party may have acted that way for a moment, which would have been nice, but the press would not have. The press has gone so off one side that it's crazy. I mean, they should be down the middle. The middle ground that Don talked about is where the press should always make their home, and they're so far out of touch from the middle ground, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, anytime you poke the bear, that's how the bear acts. here's a guy that poked the bear. I mean, you don't poke the bear and say the press is your enemy and tell the American people
you're not gonna
the
make
press is your enemy.
You
don't do that. I've never heard that done in my 50 years in the business. I've never heard anybody say the press is your enemy. Don't believe them. Fake news. I've never heard it.
No, that's his term. You got that right.
And then David, you're sitting in a state right now where a man that's the Secretary of State
who's running
is allowed to run for office, and then voter suppression. I've never seen anything like this in your face. I mean, take it. It's in your face.
Right. And then his whole staff saying, well, it's the law. We're just following the laws.
Okay. But guys,
funny they never followed them before.
Let me add this perspective to that. From a center-right side, which is where you guys know where I sit, center to right, even though there isn't much center ground left, that side, don't be laughing now. You know, we know it's true. We should be crying.
You're right.
We should
You're
be
right.
crying. But anyway, from that perspective, gentlemen, I'm not going to shut down. I love the engagement of a healthy discussion. They'll look at, like, open borders, illegal or non-citizen trying to vote. That side sees it as they want to flood everything and let everybody vote that doesn't even have a right to vote. The people that live and die, give their life for the right to vote in this country. That shouldn't just be given to everybody, only citizens. And so I think the right tends to look at that way, that they're trying to flood the market with a bunch of people that shouldn't be voting. That's not right either. That's probably more the right perspective than the left.
Well, I don't think that's really the way it is.
You don't think what?
That's not the issue.
That's not the issue?
No, that's not the issue. The issue is if I go to vote in Georgia, and I go in as my first name and my last name, and I go by my first, middle, and last name, and I don't put that on my voter registration card to vote, then my vote will be kicked aside.
Yep.
Well, I got a little. How about a little stronger stance? Who's against, or maybe nobody is, who is against having real, legitimate voter registration? That, for the life of me, the most precious thing that we act that we should take is voting, short of having a family, and we don't even make sure people in an official way are who they say they are and they have the right to vote. That just boggles my mind.
I don't really think that's the issue here, because the issue here is having ID that says exactly like it is on your voter registration. So if you have on your driver's license David L. Shorter, but on the voter registration is David Shorter, they're not going to let me vote. And
right.
the survey was done where 70% of those that took out 50,000 or 70,000 names or something like that, but 70% of them are African Americans, because there's an African American female running against the Secretary of State. That's what's been charged here. It's gone to court.
In other words, you think they've found a reason to kick some minority voters out of the voting booth? Is that what you're saying?
Of course, that's how he plans to win. He's not winning right now. So the only way to do it is to suppress some votes.
Well, and that's just as dishonest as inflating a vote that is inflated by people that shouldn't be voting at all. I couldn't agree with you more. Both ways are wrong.
And then he should not even be in a position to make a decision like that as being Secretary of State. Secretary of State is such an important office to hold when it comes to the Electoral College of voting yay or nay. Now, he should resign as Secretary of State and then run for office as being a governor. That should have happened a long time ago.
Yes. All right, gentlemen, we have been on this ever since we started with Mr. West, but I want to get into a couple of other things that happened during the week that I'm sure we all have some subjects about or talk about, but the couple of them, one that I think is trending the most is the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh as Supreme Court Justice. ABC News did a poll, and they are claiming that 58% of the citizens of the United States are in favor of a further investigation into Justice Kavanaugh's background, and if it comes out negative, that the Congress should take him out of position. What you think about that, Bruce?
Well, I would stand, it would kind of cover what you just said. I would always stand on the foundation or the idea that innocent until proven guilty. If they find him guilty of something severe enough that he shouldn't, and that's a judgment call, no pun intended, that a certain group of people have to make, that if it's a serious enough thing, if they find anything, then his service is in jeopardy. But if they don't, this idea of keeping him out or taking him out because we think, we kind of know, we it looks like he did, that doesn't hold any water. All of us would be guilty of something if we start accusing and then convicting people based on innuendo or maybes. That's crazy.
What do you think?
Now, I'd like to go ahead.
Here, go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
I don't want to hog the thing, but boy, you guys got me stirred up here. My God, it's been a while since I've been on the Man's Voice, and my voice has just been waiting to be heard. You know. The thing is, here's a guy that was nominated by 45. Now, he's been accused of an accusation. Somebody accused him, a woman, accused him of something that happened 30, 40 years ago. But we got a man that was just sentenced to prison for something. Bill Cosby. Something that they said he did years ago. He's in prison today. But here's a man that's going to sit on the highest court in the land, in the world, the highest court, and judge me and my children for the rest of my life. And he's been accused of something by a woman. And then they're going to say, okay, let's have an investigation. Here's the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We'll give them a week. We'll give you a week to find something on it. And then we'll tell you who to interview. That was just a force. I mean, I can't believe that we stood by and let something like that happen. That's what bothers me. And, you know, here's a man that's going to be in a position for the rest of his life, a job for the rest of his life. I wish I could get me a job making triple figures for the rest of my life where I would control people's life for the rest of their life.
You don't have the right to destroy that life, whether you agree to it or not, unless it's proven. I think both sides have said it feels like the doctor really had something traumatic done to her. I don't think anybody's disputing that. But was it Kavanaugh? And he has a right to defend himself and say, no, I didn't prove it. So if they can prove it, then he gets his just rewards. If they can't, he has every right to sit on that bench.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Don. I was just going to say the issue I have with that, Bruce, is that the doctor undeniably 100% said that she recalled it was Kavanaugh. So now if she says that, and then there's people that were not interviewed for whatever reason, maybe deliberately, by the FBI. To me,
right,
that seems very shady. And, you know, politics is shady. So, if there is a possibility, I'm not accusing him. I'm not saying he's guilty right now. I would like to see, you know, the other people interviewed that weren't interviewed for whatever reason and see where that goes.
Ron, I wouldn't disagree with that, but tell me if I'm wrong. I thought I heard, and I could be wrong, but I thought I heard that this 1 week certain people called to testify was agreed to by both parties. Am I wrong about that?
Are you sure?
Are you sure, Don? I thought it was.
They wanted a full investigation, and 45 says, okay, you got a week to do it. Now, come on.
But they did agree. And again, from the center right side, Don, that group is going to look at it from the standpoint, or the far right, whatever you want to call it, is just dragging things out. Then there'll be another investigation and another. This is the seventh one they did. Right, wrong, or indifferent, complete or incomplete. This guy's been looked at a lot. But I agree with both of you. If there's someone else they should talk to, they should talk to them. And they probably will behind the scenes. You and I know that it's not over. But from the standpoint of how long does this go on? Does it go on like the Mueller investigation for 2, 3, 4 years? Who knows? I mean, at some point, people have to come to a conclusion.
Well, it was a gangster move to get somebody on the Supreme Court that will think and act like I do and also say some of the things I said, like when you get a woman, you grab her by her, you know what I'm saying.
Careful.
I didn't say it, but somebody else said it. And if I get somebody else that thinks like that, it'll clear me up. Basically, that's what it was.
I won't ask the question because I already know the answer. I was just gonna say, guys, do you really think Brett Kavanaugh is this ungodly, terrible person? Do you really feel that way?
I do.
Oh boy. Okay. You have a right to feel. You have a right to feel that way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, guys. And we're about to get Don's blood pressure up again. I want to talk about the things that happened since we talked before. And one of them was, okay, we talked about Kanye, we talked about Kavanaugh, but another big thing that happened was they finally took Bill Cosby to prison. Now, according to papers and stuff, he's in this nice cell. I don't know how a cell could be nice, but he's by himself. He's next door to the armory. But he has a, according to press, he had a go-to person that takes care of him that comes in and brings him food and all that kind of stuff. So they're saying he's living the life, you know, the best life he can in prison. But my point, I guess I want to talk about is, how come it happened to Bill Cosby? Where's Weinstein in all this? I thought he was the one that started all this, and so he's still out running around. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. You know, there's been others. But Mr. Cosby is in jail, and everybody else is out running around. I don't understand that. Maybe, Bruce, what do you think?
I knew you were going to ask me. I knew it. and we got a lot of politicians that probably ought to be a number of them for things they've done that ought to be in jail too, and we all know that that's probably not going to happen. I was under the impression, clear it up for me if I'm wrong, that Bill Cosby is now in jail serving for things that they proved, or he admitted, or both, that he did. Is that right or wrong?
I would say you're possibly right in some aspects of it. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. So, you and I and Don and Ron and Jeremy, we can all guess on what that sentence should be, whether it's too harsh, not harsh enough, or just right. I'm just looking at if that's true. And the reward, unfortunately, for that is jail time. Then he deserves to be in jail. We could debate all over the place whether it's fair or not. But I don't want to even go there because honestly, I don't know. I don't think he should serve a day more than he should or a day less.
How much should he serve?
Yeah,
How much should he have served?
I don't know, Don. Do you? I really don't know how much he should serve.
How come they didn't give him a house arrest until they do the appeal?
I can't answer that either. I don't know.
Well,
but he should be treated as fair as the same way everybody else is. Should be. I know that's idealistic. There's all kinds of reasons why certain people, and not necessarily race, other reasons, are treated different than others. Or people in privileged positions get a slap on the wrist versus jail time. That's not fair either. So I wouldn't even pretend to try and figure out what the fairness of it is, but if someone is convicted of a crime and there's evidence that shows that, then there's either time or some punishment they should serve. Absolutely.
We're talking about something that a person was accused of 30 years ago versus Matt Lauer that was accused maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and he resigned, and they paid the person off, and it was swept under the rug. And then Harvey Weinstein, you had to sleep on the couch to get a job in Hollywood. He's still running around. And then the reporter for Fox Television, he's still running around. All of these guys are running around. It's just blatant. It's just blatant, Bruce. I mean, Bruce, if you could live in an African-American skin for about maybe a week, you would see what I'm saying. It's racism.
Well, no doubt I would have a different perspective, and vice versa. None of us can live in each other's skin. I wish if we could, we'd have a whole lot more sympathy and empathy for each other, wouldn't we?
We sure would.
But we can't. So the next best thing is try to get as close to that as we can, and we have not done a good job of that at all. But I still go back to the thing with Bill Crosby, when he said that he did, didn't he say that he did drug some young ladies and admitted some of that? I'm not saying he admitted everything that they've accused him of, but he did, and he admitted to some of that. So there's some action that needs to happen because of that. But if the rest of it or something else is innuendo or not unproven, then it's unproven. You can't sentence somebody for unproven things that aren't proven.
I think they did, though, because one of the accusers, she had a TV show, something, she was a model or something, but in her book, she kind of says how she fudged that conversation, and nothing has happened to her since. She kind of said in her book that she kind of just embellished what happened. And so you would think that they would retrial because of that, but nothing has happened. Anyway, since we're talking about things that happened, let's talk about something that's going on now that everybody's up about is midterm. Midterms are coming up, and everybody is saying the Democrats look like they're going to sweep the country. What do you feel? Do you think that's a true statement? Hello?
Uh-oh. Did we lose Ron?
Oh, did you say Ron? Oh, I was about to say Ron is getting his back massaged, but...
No, I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm thinking, you know, the people that are up here in Florida, and you know, it's getting nasty. You know, I see the ads on TV all the time. Frankly, it's, you know, become a turnoff. And I think it's very close, and I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do feel some kind of momentum that I can't quite put my finger on the side of the Democratic vote. Maybe it's just a feeling.
Tell me about Florida and Marco Rubio. How is that relationship?
What do you want to know about Marco Rubio?
It seems that he's always in the paper, and right now he's in the paper because he was not in favor of climate change. So they're asking him, they questioned him about the Hurricane Michael storm that just came through there, saying why did you believe in climate change and your state has all these weather issues. And he's like, well, it's all false and stuff. So I don't know how Florida feels about him. You think he's going to win? I mean, and his opponent is, you know, really saying he said, you know, he said some strange things about his opponent. So how does the state feel about him right now?
Well, I'm not sure, but obviously Florida is ground zero for sea level rise. Which, of course, is caused by climate change. And I think that issue itself right there, climate change, even though it's been politicized, and I think many more Republicans don't believe in it than Democrats, I still follow what 99% of the world's leading scientists believe, that it is real, and in fact, even scarier than that, they're now saying that we've already surpassed him, that we've gone past the point of no return. So I feel really bad for, you know, the millennials right now, like my nephew, and the world that they're going to inherit, basically that my generation and generations prior to mine maybe messed up for them. Rubio, in his In his mind, I think it's an economic situation, and you know, his views, I think, closely resemble those of Trump. And so I think that goes along party lines in that regard. But I'm, you know, I don't know, I really don't understand, because he's got young, I think, several children, and he lives in a state that is dealing with the effects of climate change pretty much every day. I mean, Miami Beach had to raise all their streets and build huge pumps to pump out the water. That flood streets during high tide, king tide, and full moons, et cetera, because of climate change and sea level rise.
Right. Okay. There are some other things I want to talk about, but I want to give everybody a chance. If you have things you might want to talk about, I know Spencer's on the line, and I want to do a little bit of sports while we have a chance to. And I know that Spencer is glued to the TV, so I want to find out, Spencer, who is, in your opinion, the number one college football team in the United States right now?
Alabama, for sure.
Oh, that's
Alabama
easy.
To me. And, yeah, you know, and I hate Alabama with a passion, but right now, they're definitely like the best team. I would like to see them go against a LSU team right now in Death Valley. That would be interesting. But right now, Alabama is definitely a top team. My team, Miami, lost yesterday. We still have a quarterback issue for the umpteenth season. So we'll probably drop in the rankings. A lot of top 10 teams lost. So the college football season this year is pretty interesting. Besides Alabama, they're the only consistent team right now.
Okay.
Well, Spencer, you know, Alabama's tied with Ohio State 7-0. So, I mean, I'm a Big Ten guy. I don't particularly like the Buckeyes, but I'm a Big Ten guy.
Oh yes, I will agree. Ohio State to me is the West Coast. It's the Midwest version of Alabama. They're kind of built on the same platform, the same way with Urban Meyer. You know, his teams have always been the same. Running quarterback, black running quarterback, power running back. Run game, pass game is always the same with Urban Meyer. So he definitely has a shot if he was to face Alabama in either the playoffs or the championship game.
Spencer, I have a question for you. How do you feel about University of Central Florida being the highest ranked team in Florida now? And you know, I'm also a Hurricanes fan. How do you feel that UCF is now in the top 10, I think, for the first time in their history?
Well, actually, they're going to move up. I think three teams lost in the top 10, so they should move up. And I'm excited for that team. What is it, 19 straight now, longest streak in the nation, 19 straight. They proved that they could overcome adversity as they did. They was down 30 to 10 yesterday and came back to win 31-30. They already beat an SEC, a good SEC team last year in a big bowl game, which was Auburn. So at least they proved that they can hang with the SEC. Now, Alabama might be a different opponent, but you never know. Some teams just have other teams' number, just the way we're supposed to blow off Virginia. Virginia played like they had the best defense in the nation yesterday. See what happened to a couple other teams that went down yesterday. You know, football is any given Saturday with college football. You never know who's going to show up. The passion, the heart. They don't have nothing to lose. So Alabama have everything. I mean, a team facing them have everything to lose if they were to make it to the playoffs and continue their run. So I'm kind of glad that they are kind of we supposed to be the highest ranked team right now.
Right. Didn't Miami beat the Bears today?
Yes. They did.
Oh,
they
great
came back.
Job.
Yeah,
oh,
they did.
Man. I expected them to get blowed out. No Tannehill, Brock Osweiler, but I don't know. That offense seemed like it moved a little better. I was mad. I thought they had lost the game. Kenyon Drake fumbled on a 1 yard line. How can you fumble on a 1 yard line? But he did. The defense showed up, stopped him far enough so that he would miss the field goal. And then the offense stepped up while driving and allowed the late game winning field goal. So big up to the Dolphins, 4-2 right now.
Doing
good right now.
Oh, the biggest
one. Hey, how about my Michigan Wolverines? Go blue.
Oh, Michigan.
They did well. They did well.
Michigan beat Wisconsin, didn't they?
Wisconsin 39-13.
Yes, big win for Jim Harbaugh. First top 10 win or 15 win. Has he been there? Good job.
Who did the Lions lose to today?
I don't know. I don't know.
My poor.
I think they had it. They were off.
All right.
I would like to say this. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Spencer. Finish.
I was gonna say the basketball season starts Tuesday. So I know somebody's very excited about this dude that. Down there in Hollywood, there's a probably winning up by 30 games this season.
Okay. Yeah. Who's excited about Hollywood? Probably.
That's Don, isn't it?
Yeah, Don Ron, but okay.
Hollywood ought to have a pro football team so the rest of the teams could beat the you know what out of them.
There's a difference between Hollywood, California, and Hollywood, Florida.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? No, you know which Hollywood I mean.
Yeah, I know. All right. Thanks, Spencer.
I have a prediction. May I make a prediction?
Yes, you can.
Okay, it's back in politics, and you know I'm the last one that wants to drag us back into politics.
Wow.
Okay, here's my prediction. First of all, I said of the 17 or 300 people that vied for the Republican Party, Trump would win. He did. Then when he went up against Hillary, I said he would probably win or lose, or he would either crush Hillary or lose by a narrow margin. He won. So I'm two for two right now. Here's my prediction. If the Democrats don't start talking about what they stand for, they're going to get crushed again. There will not be a blue wave. There may not be a big red wave. But they're going to be left shaking and scratching their heads again if they don't start sending out a positive message. I don't understand their logic.
What do you got, Ron? I mean, Don?
Well, Bruce, I wish they would clarify their platform. You're absolutely right. But the thing is, I think that the displeasure of what's happened over the past couple of years, if we don't experience voter suppression, that there will be a blue wave of women, millennials, and minorities to flip the script. And the Democrats will prevail in the midterm election.
That wouldn't flip the script. That would be per normal. That's the way it usually is. They lose in the midterms. So
yeah, right now, all three forms of government of the President, Congress, and Senate is too far to the right. We got to bring this thing back to the center.
Well, we'll see if the wave is big enough to surf on, or if it's a little boogie board. That's a little boogie board on the sandy shores of the beach.
All right, gentlemen. Yeah, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry. The one person that we have not heard a lot from today, and I don't
Jeremy.
Know why he's hiding out, is Jeremy. Jeremy, who are you? And what is it that you want us to talk about?
Let's see.
we know what.
Fine.
I know we can talk.
I just drowned in all the politics. I really drowned in the politics.
Well, let's talk about this. Jeremy is on his way to being a millionaire because Jeremy has put together his own company, and he is getting more customers and actually growing his business. He has his own trucks. He has his own logos and everything. He is, you know, this is one of the few young guys I know that go over on Brickell Avenue, which is the multi-million dollar area, and to B&B and rent it out. But anyway, so Jeremy, why don't we talk a little bit about the struggle that you had getting to where you are, and how did you get all this? What brought this to your mind? Tell them what you did and tell them who you worked for.
What gave
for
right me
now.
Some tenacity, huh?
Yeah. Tell them whose restaurant it is you're cleaning up.
Well, we're taking care of, you guys might know of the finger licking. Now it's actually called the licking after some litigation with KFC. It's a licking down in Miami with DJ Khaled. Like it's an entertainment group, Football Entertainment, E-Class, those gentlemen. We specialize in restaurants, cleaning hood and exhaust. So we're taking care of all their restaurants in South Florida. We also have the Wayne Wade food restaurant down here in Miami, which is 800 Degrees, Wood Kitchen Fire. It's a joint venture with him and Donald Haslam, Aventura, Florida. So we are making moves in the local community as far as acquisitioning businesses, restaurants, and construction sites and stuff like that. But I would just like to tell young man to be persistent, steadfast in your dream, and work harder than your competitor. If somebody wakes up and beats you every day, it better be someone literally more talented than you are, and they're born into that talent kind of thing. You know what I mean? That's like going against Trump's son. You know what I mean? So he's wealthy, and he has a very well-known knowledge of how to be a businessman. So it's kind of hard to compete with people like that, but you're going to give it your the best of your ability every day.
Yeah, he's impressive that this business is growing. His business is growing, and, you know, he's doing major athletes, restaurants, entertainers, restaurants where, you know, so to get those contracts aren't easy. So I my hat's off to Jeremiah down there, but he's probably sleeping. That's why he's so quiet.
No, just
Jeremiah,
the politics, man. I got drowned.
Jeremiah,
wake
Jeremiah,
me up. Let's speak some. Yes.
Are you dealing with Hell's Kitchen and all those people and the makeover guys?
Hell Kitchen? No. Haven't heard of those people.
Maybe
send an email. Send me a text.
Rework.
Give me some information. I'll reach out to them.
Wow. All right, gentlemen. Got about 20 seconds left. Any last words from anybody?
Yes. Good luck to you, Jeremiah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say let's go Canes, but we freaking lost yesterday, so I don't know what to say.
No.
Always say let's go Canes, right?
Wow.
Well, we just need to do some better recruiting, like Alabama. You get a five-star recruits, you never lose.
Need a five-star quarterback. Our defense is solid.
And
I don't know what and please somebody tell Mark Rich to stop calling plays. He didn't call no plays at Georgia. I don't know what's up this spread offense crap.
We're not running the ball like we should. It's crazy.
All right. Like to say thank you for listening to The Man's Voice. Good show tonight. I'd like to thank my panelists and look forward to looking or hearing or seeing or talking to you again next week, same time. Wow, mouthful there. So, gentlemen, have a great weekend, everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a good week, guys.
Hey, enjoy yourself, fellas.
Hey. See you, Brother Don.
Take care, buddy.
Okay, Brother Bruce. I love you, and you can't do nothing about it.
I love you, too. I love you.
Oh, guys, just freaking hug already.
Uh-oh. New show. New show. Ha 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 ha.